Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King. With retard.
You say funny things.
What's up, ladies? How you doing today?
I want to be able to pronounce that because it's my current favorite. But
it looks like brunchalata.
It looks like enchilada with a B.
It's a brunchalada.
Yeah,
it's called the blue one.
Chiladovic.
I have to say that for the last probably 4 weeks that we've recorded on the bump that comes right before the theme song, where James says, "You are now about to witness." I always hear in my head, "You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge" by Eazy-E.
He doesn't say that for record.
You're now listening to you. Yeah, you're listening to a whole nother.
He never says witness.
Thing. No.
Well, he says you're now about to listen to.
No.
Nope.
He says you're now listening to the world famous.
Oh, well, then I'm really got Eazy-E.
Yeah.
Okay, but then yeah, it's not in the yeah. back of my brain. It's in the black of my brain.
Yeah. Well, and that's a tier problem.
I think it is.
I was like, what?
Oh,
I like
yeah.
this stuff.
This damn mic stand. Not doing good today.
So we want to talk about Techo winners or this new whiskey?
Let's do the whiskey.
Do the whiskey.
All right.
So this whiskey is legit. Who sent it to us?
Carrie.
Oh, you know
Wobie.
You know. Oh, Carrie right. Wobie. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what we should do is introduce ourselves. Some people are confused. I'm Dave.
I'm Brent.
And I'm Hector.
Okay. So we're your hosts with the Sofa King Podcast.
Are people confused by who's who?
Yes.
Okay. So, and if you are,
I just want to give a shout out each episode. Now we should start saying our names.
If you are new, then just know that those might not have been accurate names.
Yeah. I don't think they were. I forget my name daily.
Do I pull these things?
Yes.
I have no idea. What is that?
It's really fancy.
It's a very fancy, strange yeah. whiskey bottle.
It looks like a big grenade.
I'm very eager to try this bottle because
that was interesting.
The unveiling is most
wow.
impressive.
Yeah. Hmm.
This is the whiskey
that, has like a skirt.
That when... John Wick goes to the bar in the first John Wick and the bartender tells him that he thinks yeah. he should have a bourbon. This is the bourbon that he takes up
yeah,
to his
this rib. Bottle is legit. Like it's like a pirate bottle. This feel this fucking
I'm gonna drink this out of our are we saying these or no? Are we keeping
no,
okay,
never mind.
I'm drinking it out of a special glass that nobody
really
has.
Cool glass that nobody has.
Oh, yeah, it's pewter, nice little brass.
Where you get your pewter fixed.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Ooh. And it's called Blanton's, the original single barrel bourbon whiskey.
We've had this shit for like...
I almost broke your phone.
I don't know, weeks. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, we got back order.
Back rush. Oh, it smells delicious.
Actually, is there another glass?
Those were for pictures, so they're clean. Short of fingerprint.
We're just drinking out of all the glasses we're gonna sell.
Right. Some of these selling, probably should have went to sell.
We're selling glasses and we're just gonna drink out of them. And okay. before you get them, let's have some whiskey
here
residue.
Goes the Blantons.
Yep.
Wow. Damn, that is smooth.
Damn.
That's like maybe the smoothest.
Wow.
That's almost Master Splinter. It might be Master Splinter. That might be the smoothest we've had.
That's good.
That makes me want to get a gun and start shooting Russians.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Wow.
That's really good flavor.
Thank you, Carrie.
Yeah. Thank you, Carrie.
Spicy.
Thank you, Blanton's. Thank you, John Wick.
Yeah, I'm spicy. Just the right amount of spice.
Just the right amount of spicy.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm very happy right now.
Yeah, it's good.
And I still have some in my glass. So I'm happier.
I poured a lot so I can sip on it. I smelled that cork. It smelled delicious.
I think I'm getting sick, so I'm going to mix cold medicine with more whiskey as we go. We'll see how this goes.
How it plays out.
Yeah.
So who's our hot sack winner?
Oh, Zach Kirby. I haven't talked about him in a long time. He's the infamous Gary Coleman picture poster. His video. I'll say it was tough. We were laughing a lot.
You. Yeah. We got a lot of good posts this week.
Yeah, Sammy Walsh, Kevin Holsey, and then our expert photographer. I can't think of his name right now.
He's gay as shit.
He took the picture last week of the vanilla ice cream with the red over it. Mm-hmm. But he must have like a photo studio
or a camera. That he took a picture with.
Some cool board. He's
really good.
Some cool lighting. I don't know. That last ice cream thing looked like it was on a set.
Yep. Sammy Walsh and whatever the other guy's name is.
Kevin Holsey.
Who cares about him? They were close. That was good.
No prize for second place. So sorry.
No.
We did that one week and then I realized it cost $80 billion to ship to everyone. I was like, fuck.
Just spicy tears.
Yep. And we're going to come up with something different too. I like the video things. Those are good.
The videos are cool.
I like to see people's mouths move.
We're going to have to change it up since you guys aren't really participating anymore, but I don't blame you for being bored. That shit got played out. We're going to do something different. Everybody posted titties and
yep. It's the same sexual, same sexual position every week. We're going to change it up. We're going to flip you over, put you on your stomach, squeeze your legs together.
Have we given out any of the crazy dope shit yet? Like the barbecue and all that stuff?
I don't think they know about the barbecue.
No, well,
there is a barbecue. I'll be honest. I was trying to figure out how to ship that fucker.
Just put it in a big box.
Ding. Yeah, I thought about that.
Just put it in a big box. Eh?
That's how UPS got sent right there. It's like, hey, how are we going to get this over there? Just
put it in a big box.
Put it in a big box.
Tony, come on. Come on, Tony.
I'll put it in a car, drive it over there, give
drop
me some
it
money.
Off. Yeah.
I'll do it for you. $5. Let's do it.
Just put a sign on the car. UPS, we deliver. What's it stand for? I don't know. Yours.
Yeah, we'll figure that shit out later. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
All right.
So congratulations to who won?
Zach Kirby for his El Yucateco love song.
That was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
Funny.
We all laughed pretty hard. Yep. We watched it a couple times.
Yep.
I watched it a few times naked before you guys watched it.
I think we're going to get drunk. Really this bottle is going to be gone.
Blanton's is fucking amazing. I just took another drink of it.
That might be the best whiskey we ever got.
I don't know, dude. That Burnside's really good.
Burnside's
good. The Westport. Westport's really good.
I like this one.
I don't like the blue
enchiladas.
Blue waffles is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's 93 proof, too.
Let me see it real quick again. I'm going to check it out.
I'm going to take a look real quick. Oh, man.
You know what else was really good, though?
The Breckenridge wasn't
Westward.
Bad. Yeah, the Westward. That's what I said. Oh, that Westward,
was
not Westport.
That bottle was so small. Yeah, Westward was really good.
Yeah, if you can get your hands on some Westward, send it our way again.
Man.
It's delicious. So this week we're going to be talking about
Have to play this episode in slow motion.
I might not have to. Yeah,
you don't need to play it in slow motion to hear us drunk. We're just going to get through this Blanton's.
So we went with what was this? The top requested topic.
It has been for a while.
Yeah. Richard Kuklinski, the fucking Polack murderer, madman.
I didn't think I was going to be that into it. I was really into it.
I'm two of those three things, so I'm a little bit offended.
A madman and a Polack.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I watched hours of shit and read tons.
I forgot most of it, but
I enjoyed it.
I just want to say, for the record, my mother is half German, half Polish. I grew up eating Polish food. Going to like weddings had polkas at them. Like it was as Polish as the shit gets.
Mm-hmm. You had Polish dogs.
We did kielbasa, all sorts of stuff.
Delicious.
Pierogies, the whole deal. I always found Polish jokes funny.
They are funny.
Exactly.
It's just like black jokes. They're funny.
Exactly.
And white jokes.
They're funny.
Yeah.
And if you don't think they're funny, go fuck off.
Yeah.
Because it's funny.
I've always said.
If you can't just remove yourself.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Like, unless it's just not a funny joke.
Yeah. If it's meant to be mean, then whatever. But if it's a stereotype joke, it's funny.
But if it's delivered with animosity, then it's no longer funny.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're like a fucking Nazi fucking party member in a camp, and you're telling a joke about a Jew, it's probably not going to be funny.
No, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. But I've always said that race. racism is funny. If you, like you said, if you set everything aside and look at it for what it is, the stereotypes, and you're not being malicious about it.
Right.
Which is how comedians do a lot of their acts. Yeah. And they talk about white people, black people, Mexican. Yeah. And it's funny, you know.
Yeah, we're just kidding. I have a new quote, though. This is a Brent quote. It's, I respect your beliefs and opinions, but your feelings can go fuck themselves. Because I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I'm joking. Like, I'm not going to go to someone that's in a wheelchair and just be like, you can't fucking walk. And fucking roll into the grocery store. Well, I'm not fucking saying that shit.
No, that's me. Yeah. I would do that. But
yeah, I'm fucking joking.
Yeah. Like, I'm the guy who parks in the handicapped spot and be like, these motherfuckers want to be treated equally. They can walk. Like, that's
I'm the opposite. My wife's handicapped. I won't let her use this parking spot. I'm like, we could fucking walk. Just park three spots down. Someone's really handicapped. Yeah. And she gets fucking pissed.
And then they pull, and then the handicapped person pulls in a 4x4 truck.
Yeah.
And fucking hops out. And you're like, puts the fucking sign on the window. And I'm like, how in the fuck are they handicapped?
They did a cartwheel and they signed to you in sign language.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck. You're just because you can't speak, motherfucker, or hear, you can fucking walk.
So, we didn't offend anyone because there's no
they
braille.
Can't hear it
there's
anyway.
No braille for this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's he just did true. Some insulting braille shit.
Right? Yeah, you fucking threw gang signs up at me. He almost got shot.
That was too much.
It could have meant something.
It probably did.
So the Iceman, Richard Kuklinski.
Kuklinski.
Yeah, there you go.
Kuklinski.
Brad got you on that one.
I was just saying
Kuklinski.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
No, Richard Kuklinski.
Kuklinski.
Kuklinski?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Kuklinski.
It's Kuklinski.
It's Kuklinski.
Let's call him Kolkowski.
Kolkowski. There we go. Because he cold cocked a lot of motherfuckers.
Kuklinski.
So either way, the Iceman. What year did the first HBO documentary come out?
91.
Like a long time ago, right? Because I saw the first documentary a long ass time ago, and that's really all that I knew about the guy. I remember watching that first documentary, and I remember I was just kind of calling bullshit on it. Like, this guy's just sitting there talking about all these people he killed.
92.
And he was just kind of casual and didn't fucking care. And I just didn't buy it. Like, I just didn't buy it. I thought, like, he's obviously in jail for some murder.
I couldn't help but laugh. I kept laughing. I was like, why am I laughing? This kind of fucked
up. One of the things with this guy is he looks like a normal dude.
Yeah.
Like,
he looks like my dad.
Yeah, he looks like a normal guy. And I think the only difference between this guy and another normal guy is that he just didn't give a shit.
Right.
Like, that's it. Like, not even that fucking loved to kill.
And
he just didn't give a fuck.
And that was the thing. Because I went into this thinking, oh, we're going to research this guy that just seems like a fucking publicity whore. He does all these interviews and all these documentaries about his past, and it's all fucking bullshit.
Well, what else does he have?
Right. But then when I started reading into it, I still am not completely divorced of that idea. I think he is a publicity whore.
He is, for himself.
But at the same time, he's a fucking legit hitman.
Yeah.
Like, there's just endless records.
Because they wanted to try to resolve some of the cases, and they thought maybe if he would admit, because they really don't know.
Yeah,
and during these talks, as the years pass, he starts to reveal other things. And like, even as far as like 2003, he admitted more shit and got another 30 years sentence.
Yeah,
because he doesn't care. He's not getting out until he's 110. He's dead, but spoiler.
But multiple life sentences.
Most of the time he tells a story, it's just like, there was this guy at this one place, and I did this thing too. And it's
he doesn't give a fuck.
A lot of it, he keeps it so vague.
Did you see the interview with the psychiatrist though?
No.
He actually had an interview. There's like a 10-minute video on YouTube. And he says, I'm curious. Like, he wouldn't admit something's wrong with him because it's a fault. It's like embarrassing and shameful. And that was one of his issues, was he had a paranoid personality disorder, which
they're always
like,
going to give it a label.
Yeah, if you crack a joke, he like gets embarrassed and he looks around like, what are people thinking of me? I'm going to fuck this guy up to make.
Well, that's what like a guy told him, like, hey, you know, I know where you live, bloody, bloody, blah. And he's like, fucking, oh yeah. Pop, 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 pop. Shoots homie.
Or over pool game. Pool sharking. He fucking fuck you up, cut your throat. So the psychiatrist talked to him though, and he diagnosed him, and he had a combination of two rare things that made him so successful at being a contract killer. He had antisocial personality disorder, which made him not have a conscience. He just didn't give a fuck. And it's like 2% of society has that. And then the other one was paranoid personality disorder, which like 1% of society had that. And like 3% of those 2% or some shit have both.
Have both, yeah.
Which is this tiny percentage. Yeah. And then the people that generally have the the antisocial personality disorder. They have a fearlessness. They become extreme sports people like skydivers, mm-hmm. jet fighter test pilots, police officers. And then some of them choose the dark side right. and they end up doing this. But rarely.
I think the dark side chooses you if you're in the right place at the right time.
Or your dad or mom beat the fuck out of you with drumsticks the whole time you're a kid. So he said his was the nature versus nurture argument. His was a combination of both. Like he was predisposed to a hereditary factor that was genetic, which is the antisocial personality disorder and the other one. But there's this triggering factor of how are you raised?
Right. What was
if your upbringing? If you had love and caring parents, there's and a good chance you could be a fucking jet fighter pilot. Right. If not, you're killing people.
And I did. I mean, I saw one interview with him and he was talking and he brought up one case and he said, do you want to talk about it? And the Iceman said, I don't really want to talk about any of this stuff. And the guy was like, why not? And he said, I don't like to think about it. I don't think about it
because
like,
it would hurt me.
He was like, in my daily life, I do not think about this. Right. I don't talk about it. It's just never in my head.
Well, and
that's what he said. He said, when you get me to talk about it and I talk about it, now I'm remembering it and it hurts me.
Yeah.
But on a daily basis, I never think about it and it never hurts me.
Well, they said, you know, when he went home, there was two different Richards. You know, there was the happy Richard and he would do stuff with the family and everybody was happy. And then there was the fucking mean
monster.
Richard.
Yeah.
The
His
monster.
Wife said they would go for months at a time and you wouldn't even have an outbreak, but sometimes it would be every other day.
And he'd walk home and fucking punch her in the face. Yeah. You know, like
my dad was like that. Like I would just be fucking scared sometimes. Like we would just be like, don't look at him. Just don't talk to him. He's going to fucking just trip. You know,
snap
so you just be fucking quiet.
Right.
But that's how his childhood was. Like his dad would beat him for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
And then his mom believed in strict obedience and she'd beat him with a broomstick. So he had it coming from both ways. And she worked in a fucking, like a butcher, a fucking meat processing plant.
Right.
So she just sees fucking gore and craziness. But I could not find what happened. He had a sister and I couldn't find her.
I couldn't find what happened to her.
Yeah. We know what happened to the brother, but the sister, I couldn't find her.
So looking at it. So overall, I read one guy who was an FBI agent that said that he thought that, Kuklinski's murders topped out somewhere near 350.
I heard as low as 100. Yeah.
And I heard two. Some people say two. I think the biggest camp say somewhere around 100 or somewhere around 200. And these tend to be like mob experts, you know, forensic investigators. Yeah. Like, so it's not like it's this guy who I think is kind of full of shit and hamming it up and wants the attention. This is the fucking legal expert saying, no, we think this is probably how many people he might have killed.
Well, and people have said too, that because he's looking for that, or he was looking for that attention, you know, like he had nothing else to do. He needed to make himself bigger and better and greater, to come up with more stories about killing people, you know,
I think he doesn't even know though. Like in his interview, he was saying that the thrill of the hunt, the planning of the murder, the way to get away with it was the thrill for him. And the actual killing, he said he didn't really get any rise out of it. He said his quote, the juice he got was from the planning of the actual event of killing someone. And then he was going into practicing killing people that were homeless. Mm-hmm. At one point, the police just thought that it was homeless people killing homeless people.
Right.
Because he changed it up so much. He beat the fuck out of someone with a tire iron. He choked somebody, he'd stab somebody, he'd poison somebody, he'd beat him with his bare hands.
It's one of the reasons the numbers are so skewed, because even if the mob, because once he fell in with a mob, we'll get there in a minute, but once he fell in with the mob and they would say, you've got to kill this guy, unless they had a specific thing, like in one case he said that he was asked to kill a guy, cut his tongue out and stuff it up his own ass.
Yeah.
But he said unless it was some specific thing, he would come up with different ways. It's like, oh, the last guy I killed I shot, and that was in Jersey City. I'm supposed to kill this guy. I'm going to wait till he visits his mom in Kalamazoo and I'm going to fucking strangle him.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to kill this other guy when he goes to Miami and I'm going to fucking drown him.
But it had such little impact, like morally and such little regard. Uh-huh. He did. I don't think he remembers all of it. I don't think he knows all of them.
So his childhood was, as we've hinted at, was not rosy. He was born April 11th, 1935 in a Polish section of Jersey City. His parents were Polish and Irish immigrants that were new to the country. His mom was Anna McNally, devout Catholic. The father was Stanley Kulkinski, who worked for the railroad, and he was a drunk who just fucking beat the shit out of everybody.
His eyes were really close together. I noticed it in the picture. He looked like a kissing cousin for sure. I don't know if you guys saw it. Yeah.
So Richard was the second of four children, and apparently his eldest brother, Florian, was beaten to death by the parents, and they ended up staging it as if he fell down the stairs and died.
That's probably where that story came from. Like, yeah, he fell down some stairs.
Yeah.
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 Killed your
so they just
kid.
Fucking beat his brother to death is the type of background that he came in into. And then his older brother, another one
it's
of
like
the brothers.
Like fucking 30s JonBenet parents.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, another brother named Joseph, who died in 2003, was convicted of raping and murdering a 12-year-old girl. And when he was in jail, Richard was asked about Joseph's crimes, and he said, quote, "We come from the same father."
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so that's the household.
Yeah, you got problems.
That they came
that's
up.
That's dad.
Yeah, he does have some.
He's got kiss a cousin.
Oh, he does. Yeah. He does.
You can't fit a coin between there. It would touch.
He does. Yeah. That part really messes it up, too. It really it was on does. One side.
It's like, yeah, it's not in the middle.
Yeah.
Kind of
middle. The middle.
The eyes.
Yeah.
That's
not okay.
If you'd have pointed that out, he'd have tried to beat you.
Probably. At least he's dead now.
Yeah. So as a child, again, you know, you could, and here's the other thing. I ultimately think this guy was just the world's luckiest serial killer. I mean, I honestly think he was a serial killer. I think he was compelled to murder. I think he was compelled to kill people.
Yeah, different motivations, though. He doesn't fit the stereotypical, like, I don't know, he did it for money.
For power. It was power. He wanted to feel bigger.
It wasn't sexual. I mean, there were a lot of them
usually
have some kind of weird sexual thing, but it's just, I mean, you look at the boxes, like a fucking over-controlling mother, an abusive father.
No Atari.
He got
paid to be a serial killer.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He was lucky. Like, I think he was going to fucking be this anyway.
Right.
It's just that he ended up finding a career where he could do it that way instead. Because even, I mean, as a child, he would murder and torture and dissect cats. Like, that ticks the same serial killer box.
That psychologist talked about that, too. And it makes me think about, like, people that I know. I'm like, oh, your kid fucking was, like, chopping up some frogs, man.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a serial killer. They have that trait.
Torturing animals.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you like do anything weird to frogs or anything?
No, I don't like hurting animals.
No.
Dave, no, I didn't think so.
I even like, I like guns. I like shooting.
Yeah.
I don't like hunting.
Yeah.
I will hunt. And if it came down to it, you know, you have to kill an animal for food or whatever, that's fine.
Right.
But I would rather go to the mall and hunt. Dude. Then go out and shoot some innocent animal.
One time, me and my buddy had like
and
one of those
fucking.
You love
hunting babies.
I do love
hunting. A pump rifle BB gun.
Prey.
Well, they're hard to hit too. They're the smallest targets.
Right.
Shoot small. Shoot big.
There was a giant ass blackbird on a fucking telephone wire across the alley above someone else's yard from my buddy's backyard, and I was like seventh grade, and we had one of those pump up fucking BB gun/pellet. Yeah. And I fucking thought, no way am I going to hit this fucking thing. Like, I just didn't think it was going to happen, and I fucking shot this blackbird. Big ass blackbird, and it fucking goes boop, feathers fly. It swings upside down and hangs from one fucking leg, spreads its wings, and just fucking goes. And it won't fucking die. And I was like, oh my God, I'm trying to pump it up. Oh shit. I felt so bad. I was going to shoot again real quick. Right.
You probably just heard it. Like, it was probably
and
just
then
angry.
Then guess what it did? It fucking drops off into some tall ass grass into a fucking yard where there's three big ass mean dogs that I can't do shit about. I can't get over there.
Yeah.
And it just fucking continues to scream. Me and my friend just put our fucking heads down and just set that shit down. Looked at each other like, fuck, and just walked inside. I was guilty about that. I'm guilty about it right now.
I can see it on your face.
It fucking bothered me forever.
Well, dude. I told you the baby bird that fell, and I was trying to kill it with the shovel.
Oh,
yeah. It was in the driveway. Little tiny baby bird, like, and the eyes are still like swole shut.
Yeah.
And it was sitting there, and I was like, and it was dying. And I was like, damn, I got to kill this fucking bird real quick. Like, it's dying. Like, it fell out of the nest. And so I took the flathead shovel, and I was like, I put it on its neck, and I was like, okay, stomp. And it's all. And it just wouldn't
slow die.
It didn't cut the head off, and it wouldn't cut it off, and it was still alive, and it was just squirming. So I hit it again. Nothing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm trying to cut this bird's head off. It will not cut off. So I'm like, fuck it. Scoop it. I scoop it, flung it in the air, and it was all ping. Just hit it like baseball like swung it. Yeah. Ooh. And killed it. And I was like, and then fucking dumped it in the trash. And I still feel bad about it. Like, I'm like, damn, I don't want to see it. Like, I don't mind killing it.
But yeah,
I don't want to see it suffering for no reason.
Something out of a bad comedy. Yeah,
it was
like
horrible because I was trying to put it out of its misery.
Right.
And I just
fucking increased the
misery. Yeah, I just like, I feel like, yeah, I was just like, I'm a monster.
If I knew someone was guilty as fuck for doing some bad shit,
yeah,
like they're fucking with kids,
oh,
like,
yeah,
I got no problem killing them.
Yeah.
But that fucking innocent bird,
yeah,
will
yeah,
haunt me for the rest of my yeah, fucking
it's the,
life.
It's the innocence thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, if like, you know, you the neighbor down the street rapes some girl or something, you know, like I have no problem letting that guy go, you right, know, but some, like a dog that didn't do anything, I don't have no reason to torture that dog, no, you know? Yeah. If it bit one of my kids, I'm going to kick it, but
I'd kill the fucking guy that tortured the dog.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure we all knew like one kid who fucking tortured animals or whatever,
yeah,
but I also think it's different. Like I know kids who like did something once to torture an animal and then they were kind of fucked up about it and then they never did it again.
Right.
Like, I don't know that I know any kids who, like, if you talk to someone 10 years later, they're like, oh, yeah, Johnny, he was always fucking cutting up cats.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, it, like I think it's a different box to tick. I think even the people I know who did something like that, I don't think they reveled in it and kept doing it by yeah, themselves. Like, they might do it to prove how well, big they were yeah, to their friends
and
or whatever.
And there's a curiosity aspect right, of it, too. Like, you know, like, there is a biology to it. But
to just keep doing it and getting your rocks off, that tick, that ticks
yeah,
box that
yeah,
ticks the box
for sure.
So he had the boxes ticked, and from what I read, he said that his first murder was when he was 14, and it was supposedly someone in another teen neighborhood gang,
a bully.
There were yeah, six kids fucking with him, yeah, and they beat him up all
they
the time.
They call him Polak. Like, what you gonna do, Polak? And they beat him up
because I didn't hear much of the story. So what?
Well, it was basically he got beat up, he got bullied. You know, they kept
man, for one,
up,
let's say this
him,
guy ended up being 6'5", 270.
Well, yeah, so what started, what started it? Like he was tall and skinny. Like, of course, they didn't have a whole lot of food. Probably he was tall and skinny and his mom bought his clothes like three sizes too big. So they were like just big baggy clothes, right, which led him to be picked on anyway. And he was kind of cowardly. And so the kids would just beat him up. Like he had the same group of kids beating him up every day, whatever. They were picking on him, bullying him. Well, so he planned to get this kid back. So he took the pole out of his closet, out of the family closet. And
it said rod, but I kept picturing the big wood dowel.
It was a big wood rod. Yeah, the pole. Yeah. So it was a wooden pole that,
was
you know,
locked?
That hangs. What's that?
Was it locked?
What?
The pole.
No, pole locked. Yeah, well, it's going to be. So he waits for him. The kid, he knows the kid's going to cross the street like at a certain time at night. So he walks out there, has the
again,
stick.
Again, already showing the fucking planning.
Yeah, he like plans.
He well, the story the I heard, he walked out and fucking scrapped all six dudes. That's from,
no,
his, from his mouth in the interview on HBO, unless that was embellished.
So, the one that I watched, he basically waited for this kid. He was by himself. He walked out with the stick and the kid's like, what are you going to do with that stick, Polak? And he fucking swings it, hits the kid in the head. And they said he was scared at that point. And so he just started hitting him while he was on the ground, eventually killing him. Went back up, hid the rod, and waited for 3 days, and then it rained. And so that had like the chalk outline on the street, you know, of the kid, like they never removed it. So he was dead. And then at that point, he realized that they weren't coming after him. And he realized that his way to solve his problems was with murder. So that's kind of the kickoff right, of like, oh, if I just kill people.
He said, if I hurt people, they won't fuck with me anymore.
Yeah. If I just fucking get rid of them.
Yeah. Cause I think it was probably both stories. Cause I did see the interview that said that he went to the six people and whooped their ass.
Yeah.
And then I did see I read an article that said that the first person was someone that he had conflicts with. And then he bludgeoned them. He bludgeoned them.
What was so good in the interview though, on the HBO, if you haven't seen him, there's like three HBO interviews with him that are about an hour apiece. He said, normally I was receiving the beatings. He's like, but to their surprise this time I was giving it. And that's the first time I learned a lesson in life. It's better to give than to receive.
Yeah,
and I fucking laughed. I was like, damn. Because he kind of grinned at the end of that. Yeah. I was like, this guy's.
And the one reason I didn't like listen to the interviews is because his embellishment of stuff. You know what I
maybe,
mean? Like,
we
so,
don't know.
Well,
no
yeah,
knows.
He's going to want. Like
it's the
I
closest
said,
we have to the real thing, though, is his word, right? Otherwise, he only knows the shit that happened. There was no witnesses to
yeah,
have that shit.
I mean, why is there more than one story, though? So, like, the things changed over time.
Well, the story about those kids, though, he terminates the story at the "I whoop these kids' ass."
Yeah,
like that's the end of the story. Yeah. But then
the better to give than to receive.
Right. But then he killed one of them. I'm picturing that he whooped their asses that day and then waited a couple of days and then the main one
maybe
he fucking went and killed. But he also said that when he killed that first person when he was 14, he felt empowered.
Yeah,
he said he felt guilty and bad at first for a little while, and it started to slowly change and turn into something else.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's weird. His mannerisms, like, I don't know if he's chewing gum or biting his cheek.
He was chewing gum.
Yeah. And he kept just like chomping on his gum. He has this weird little look on his face. And then he said, then I felt a power come over me.
Yeah.
And he realized.
And this is one of those things, like, you know, all serial killers have some sort of thing. We talked about sexual or some weird fetish or whatever. His was just power.
Right.
It's just like the dictator thing. You know what
I
mean?
And I think
like
even with the sexual ones, it's also a case of power. They want power over that other person.
Yeah. Because
like Gacy found those fucking bones and had that weird little moment where he's like, I like this for some reason. You know? And then he started asking his dad how to clean chicken bones and shit.
Yeah.
He beat that dude up and was just like, this is my thing.
Yeah. Right.
Like that's my jam.
It's my calling.
I'm going to fuck someone up. Yeah.
Yep.
So he ends up moving to New York and starts trying to kind of live a straight and narrow life. He starts working at a loading dock in New Jersey, and he meets his future wife, Barbara. He was 19 at the time and she was 18, or was he 20?
She worked across the street.
I think he was 25.
He was 25. Okay.
She was 18, and she just graduated. Yeah. He was a little bit older.
He worked on the loading docks of the trucking company that she was a secretary for.
Yep.
So they worked at the same place. And then one article that I read, and I couldn't see this anywhere else, was that she discovered that he was already married and had two kids.
I didn't see that.
I saw that in one article. I think it was on biography.com.
Hmm.
And then I kept, it wasn't anywhere else that I saw. I thought that was a weird.
I read a ton of shit. Thing. I watched a lot of things. And I even watched the Iceman movie that seemed pretty accurate after listening to all the interviews with him and watching the documentary. So
no, I said it on bio.com and I couldn't find it on any other bio that I read. So I'm just guessing that they were full of shit. But one thing that did happen is when she was only 19, she decided that she didn't want to continue with this. She was too young. She wanted to see some other people. And the story, as she tells it, is that Richard responded by stabbing her
in the back of the neck.
Yeah. He stabbed her with a knife that was so sharp she could barely feel it until she felt the blood trickling down her neck. And, I felt the blood running down my back, she said. He told her that she belonged to him and that if she tried to leave, he would kill her entire family. And when she began to scream at him in anger, he throttled her into unconsciousness.
He told her it was an object lesson or something. Yeah. Don't ever leave me.
Yeah. And they were driving. Yeah. They were driving in a car.
Yeah.
And he basically had his hand like behind her on the seat and had the knife open and fucking just stabbed her.
Yep.
And caught her.
And then the next day,
he was waiting
for her at work with flowers and a teddy bear. And he apologized.
That's nice, Richard.
And said he wanted to marry her.
I think that's standard in the case of
abusive
men who beat women.
And like, he said, I love you so much, you drive me crazy sometimes.
That's how you know it's a good first date.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't get stabbed.
Right. Yeah.
I want blood.
She believes him. They get married. And there's a couple of really good. Did you see much with her?
Well, I saw the
movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched that whole fucking movie.
I read a couple of interviews with her, and they're pretty interesting. So they married. They had three children. They live in suburban New Jersey. And he's just like other serial killers that we've looked at. If he is a serial killer, I guess that's still debatable. He's an usher at mass every Sunday.
Yeah.
He holds big backyard barbecues.
He's
a normal family.
He organizes
trips to Disneyland. Like they just look at him as like this typical American family.
And it was during that time where wives don't ask questions. Like it was that whole, like, I'm leaving at 2 a.m. She literally said in an interview, like, I just said, bye. I'll see you when you get back.
Yeah. Is it different now?
Yeah. Don't fucking ask.
I mean, is it different now?
It depends on the house.
Yeah. Make me a sandwich.
Sandwich.
I'm glad it's a sandwich.
Yeah.
But in the background, his fucking monstrous side is showing to her, right? It's not like she's completely immune.
Yeah, he's doing what his dad did.
So in a book called The Iceman, A True Story of a Cold-Blooded Killer, written by Anthony Bruno, he interviewed her and she said that he tried to smother her with a pillow. aimed a loaded gun at her three times. Tried to run over her with a car.
Broke her nose three times.
Yeah. Stabbed her neck. And she said, quote, he'd take me to dinner, give me tea, and tuck me to bed. And then I'd wake up at 2 a.m. with him screaming, tonight's the night you die. And then he would try to smother me with a pillow.
That's how I do it. And then they get peanut butter and I'm cool. Like, I got a fucking psych.
Yeah, he just needed a Snickers bar.
We keep peanut butter yourself. By the bed.
Yeah. Without a Snickers bar.
Good night out. And
no, they would have. So like you and your husband just have a date, you're hanging out, makes you tea, rubs your feet, tucks you,
you know,
in.
You know what happened?
You snooze out. 2 hours later, he comes in and tries to fucking kill you.
I think, you know what? I think he was a big man. I think he had diabetes and his blood sugar was low. Yeah,
that's all it was.
Just went nuts.
Might have been.
It was just a blood sugar issue right now. That's all.
And apparently it got so bad in that same book. She said that their daughter, Kristen, and she said that she can't remember the exact age, either when the daughter was 16 or 17, she and Barbara had a plan to poison him.
Whoa.
To kill him. And eventually they realized they just couldn't do it. They didn't have it in them because they both hated living under him so badly. They just wanted him dead.
They weren't the 2% born with that disorder.
Exactly. Yeah. But the thing, and this, I mean, I honestly wonder how big a part this played, because she said in the interview, for one thing, Richard often handed scraps of food to our Newfoundland to eat. So they didn't want to poison his food because they didn't want him to give scraps to the dog and have the dog die. And she said, I wished him dead every day. During the best of times, I wished him dead.
Wow.
And he didn't drink, so he can't slip it in the whiskey.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's interesting that she wanted to poison him, because that was his preferred method to kill people, was to kill him with cyanide, because it often, unless the medical examiners were specifically looking for cyanide, they would often rule it as something else.
Heart attack.
Yeah. Even a current medical examiner I saw in one of the documentaries said that unless they're looking for it, it's kind of hard to see it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this.
It's so small of amount too. It's 100 milligrams of cyanide.
Cause one of the interviews I saw with him said, I would dissolve it in a liquid. I would go into a bar and I would act like I was drunk. I would spill my drink on somebody's pants. Mm-hmm. And it was now stuck in their pants and it was absorbing into their skin. Yep. And within a couple of hours, they'd be dead.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
Well, he put it, so to test it, like when he first learned about it from Mr. Softy, I don't know, you have him in there in your notes.
Speaking of Mr. Softy, that's Mr. Dead Dicks right there. Yeah. He poured it on their pants.
So
Mr. Softy was another hitman who he knew.
This who taught him the cyanide trick. Yeah.
His day job was he drove an ice cream, a Mr. Softy ice cream truck. And that was his day cover.
Which they're still, and they said if moms and dads knew what he had in that truck, they would have been fucking freaking out. Yeah.
Dude, in the movie, like he's selling ice cream and then he goes and talks to fucking Richard and he's like, look at this. He pulls the thing open and there's just like fucking push-up pop sitting on some girl's face that's wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, sure.
Just taking the ice cream off a dead girl. I don't know if that ever happened.
The movie is probably very embellished.
Right? Maybe.
And it's Captain America too.
Yeah, because they didn't freeze people, chop them up, kill them and fucking do all the other things.
But it's not as glorified as the movie's gonna make it look.
Maybe.
It's not as fun in real life if you ever tried to do it. I can't imagine having fun putting a 300-pound man in a 50-gallon drum. Not fun.
Hey, Dave, we need to talk to you after the podcast.
We want to show you our drum. We want to show you our drum collection.
Yeah, we got a new drum set in the other room. If you want to check it out?
Check it out. You got to dig deep.
You're going to need like a 75-gallon drum.
Yeah. Well, we have no. We got it covered. We have three.
We've been Me and Brad have been playing Tetris all week, man.
So during all this time, so this is kind of getting ahead in his criminal career, but this is the type of relationship that he has with his family. But he starts a criminal career, which really begins because he gets a job, again, trying to be fairly legitimate. He gets a job at a film lab, and one of his jobs is to just make copies of films that are going out for distributors. And he ends up getting some kind of a connection with the Gambino crime family.
Well, what happens is he finds out his other coworkers are staying late and dubbing porn.
Right.
So he gets into that, and that's kind of what gets him in with the Gambinos, because he ends up taking out a loan And then he ends up start falling short on the loan. And so fucking homeboy shows up to break his legs, you know?
Right.
And they fuck him up, but his fearlessness kind of captures it. And also he develops a reputation at the pool hall because he's just fucking people up. And they see like, this guy is a fucking beast. Like he's an animal. Like,
yeah. So when fearless. He's like, yeah. While he's doing this, while he's just doing the porn stuff, yeah. he's, and it, I found it really interesting that he was bootlegging copies of two types of film, mm-hmm. porn films and Disney cartoons. Yeah.
Well, during the day, it was the Disney cartoons.
Oh, okay.
And then, so like that was the legitimate business that he was doing. And then he got involved with the porn, and that's where Roy DeMeo, who actually was said to be the only person that Kuklinski was afraid of.
Right.
Was that guy. And he's the one that he borrowed like $65,000 from, fell short on his payments. They showed up with three dudes. They beat him up.
No, it wasn't just that they beat him up. Roy DeMeo beat him with a pistol.
Yeah.
And he didn't fucking cry.
No.
He didn't beg for,
he just let him
sat there and
took it like a man.
And at the end of it, Roy DeMeo was like, fuck.
Yeah.
This guy's legit.
Yeah. Like in the movie, they do the thing where they kick his ass and then finally they say, hey, he wants to talk to you tomorrow. It's got nothing to do with this fucking porn film. They get him in the car and they just stick a gun in his face. He's like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? You drop me off? Like he just doesn't give a fuck. Like the guy does a really good job of playing. After I watched all the HBO interviews, yeah. He does a really good job with that character.
Nick Cage was in that movie.
Nick Cage was in there. He was hiding in a bush.
No, but what and how he got hooked up with DeMeo after getting the loan? Immediately he went to the people who didn't pay him because the people who were getting the porn movies weren't paying him.
Yeah. Right,
and so he couldn't pay DeMeo. So he went and he had fucked
to borrow,
them up.
He had to borrow money from DeMustard.
Yeah.
Just to pay DeMeo. Just to try to catch up. Yeah,
just to try to catch up. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He was in quite a pickle.
He was in quite a pickle. Yeah. I was going for it.
Yeah.
So he went and fucked those dudes up and immediately came back within a week to Roy and gave him his money.
Yeah.
And so Roy was like, oh, okay.
There was a porn producer who owed $1,500 and Kuklinski fucking killed him for the $1,500. And then in the same time he started,
you keep saying Kuklinski, it's Klinkinski.
Yeah.
It's even harder to say.
It is. But he, during this time they start hijacking trucks, which is like a big mob thing. You hijack a truck and then you fucking sell off all the,
he could have got arrested for Hamburglary.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're still going. But like,
let us continue.
Yeah. Because he did this, he fenced a bunch of stolen jeans for $12,000, which is a lot of bread.
Yeah. And
Dave, tomato, no, you did not.
Yeah. That is a lot of dough.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Cheese and rice.
I sesame seed what you did there.
So, make it stop.
Were these guys Italian?
Most of them. Everybody he worked with were Italian. So, and then another one, one thing that I read in this same era, he killed two people in a fit of road rage.
He would chase people like wherever they were going. He'd fucking chase them, get them out of the car, and he'd beat the fucking shit out of them.
He had a stolen truck full of wristwatches that he was trying to sell to some like low end mob guys. They ended up trying to renegotiate the price when he got there. So he fucking murdered all four of them.
Like you do.
Yeah. So, I mean, he starts to show, you know, but apparently he's so eager to kill people that at first the mob's like, we don't want to fucking get any, we don't want anything to do with this.
Well,
guy.
Sketchy.
This Roy, guy's well, like
Roy,
fucking crazy.
Roy hires him because he's like, hey, I think you got a gift. So Roy starts sending him after people that owe him money.
Right.
And so he starts going after him. And eventually this one guy just doesn't pay and he just fucking kills him. And I guess it happened a couple times. And so Roy's like, you know, hey, these people can't pay if they're dead.
Right.
So he's like, I think I got another job.
I got another.
Yeah.
And then
this is where he becomes the hitman.
Another story was that DeMeo said that he needed him to prove his willingness to work for the organization. And the two of them got in a car and he just randomly picked some dude walking his dog and said, go kill that guy.
Yeah.
And fucking he walked out, fucking shot the guy, got back in the car and was like, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are we going to eat?
He tells that hamburgers in the interview. Yeah.
Yeah. So they end up working in a place called the Gemini Lounge, which was their HQ. This was DeMeo's HQ. And apparently, and it was a bar, real fucking seedy looking bar. Yeah. Like they showed pictures of it. I was like, you would not find yourself in that bar by accident. But his crew, because of the Iceman joining this crew, DeMeo went from being a guy whose main job for the Gambino family was stripping cars and doing that line of work to handling murders. And they called his crew the Murder Machine. And they said that the upstairs of the Gemini Lounge was just where they would fucking
disembowel
people. Yeah. And so I guess he was still running a chop shop. He was just chopping different shit.
Yeah.
But, so, eventually, the Iceman starts to become one of the Genovese crime family's hitmen. He starts to work for the seven families of the East Coast Mafia, the New Jersey Mafia, the Gambinos, the Lachizis, the Bananos in New York. Like everybody's
so many food jokes. There were so many food jokes.
Food jokes and bananas.
And when I got into this part, I was like, I really wish Rob was on the show because he'd fucking school us about this cat right now because he would know everything about the people he killed. And he claimed that he would never harm women or children.
Except his wife and his kids.
Yeah, he said he would never kill a child and probably would never kill a woman.
Yeah. Okay.
He was kind of on the fence on it.
Well, if he got put on the hit, I bet you he would. I mean, name in a place and fucking go kill him.
And then they talk, and you can look into it. There's a bunch of specific people that they supposedly he killed, a guy named Carmine Galante, a guy named Don Paul Castellano, who was one of the main people in the Gambino family. And this is where I think he's kind of stretching a little bit. He claims that he was involved in the death of Jimmy Hoffa.
He said, they put him in a barrel.
It kind of sounds like his MO though, you know?
I mean, I kind of cry bullshit on that by default. Like if you're already kind of trying to go for glory and you throw that out there, that's kind of a big deal. But
did he fit the right time and place?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's the other thing. He's the guy.
He's the guy that's going to kill Jimmy
Hoffa. Realistically, if there was a guy who was going to kill Jimmy Hoffa, this was the guy that was going to kill Jimmy. So on the one hand, when he says I killed Jimmy Hoffa, I'm like, no, you fucking didn't. And on the other hand, I'm like, but you had the skills. Resume was on the table.
Or did he say he knew what happened? Because I read the story that they said his body was put into a barrel and burned for 30 minutes to an hour, then welded shut and buried in a junkyard. And then something happened where there's some heat and they thought that someone might go to the cops to tell them where the body was. And so they took that barrel, crushed it in a Toyota.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't to Japan.
It doesn't say.
Which will explain why we haven't found
it. Yeah. It doesn't say that he confessed to it. It says that he claims to know the fate of.
Yeah, that's right. He knew the fate.
So would assume if he knew what happened, he probably fucking did it.
And that's I have no doubt that he knows what happens to Jimmy Hoffa because he would have been on the short list of people to fucking to pull that cap.
And he's the barrel guy. He likes doing the barrel guy.
And he did. And that was one MO. That was another way that he often disposed of bodies was putting them in trunks, getting a guy to crush the car, sending it over to a scrapyard overseas.
Yeah,
the whole thing would get fucking melted.
But again, the body was never found. Right. So he could have said he did whatever with the body and it doesn't matter.
And then at one point as he gets a little bit older, he starts to do stuff outside of the mafia to make money. Did you guys see the thing where he talked about the pharmacist?
He tries to sell Tagamet.
Yeah, there was this
ulcer medication.
This pharmacist has a plan to, a guy named Paul Hoffman had a plan to sell he wanted to get this massive illegal shipment of Tagamet, which had just come out, you know, big ulcer
probably,
medicine.
Probably wasn't approved yet. Right. It is now. It's what they give to everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
But it wasn't over the counter. It was just prescription. So if he could have bought a big load of it and sold it through his pharmacy, he could have fucking made a ton of money, right?
Right.
And apparently he was planning on buying $25,000 worth of bootleg Tagamet to sell to people. And Kuklinski is the guy who said he had the medicine. This is in 82. So he shows up at the warehouse. Kuklinski walks up to him and the guy's like, here's your $25,000. Where's my medicine? And
he
says in an interview that he pulls out a pistol, sticks it under his chin and says, there is no medicine, and pulls the trigger.
Yeah. He did that frequently though. He strung along people for a long time. Like he fucking tried to meet up with this guy like four times. This guy's trying to meet up with him. And finally the guy goes missing. And fucking his 100,000's gone. Right. You know, like, well, so he just...
Dave's Tagman guy, though, he shot that guy into the chin. He didn't fucking die. And he tells this horrifying story. Did you actually see the interview? He's guy's gurgling.
Oh, he's still alive?
He didn't die. And he tries to shoot him again. The gun fucking is all click, it jammed.
The second bullet jammed.
Yeah. Ooh. And then he looked like he's in a lot of pain. He's just laying there gurgling and making weird noises and shit. You know, I don't know. So I go get the tire iron and I whack him with it and knocked him out and he died, you know? And then he's gone.
And
so he did die.
He killed him. Not from a bullet. So he hits him.
I thought you meant that guy was telling the story.
You had to go finish him with
the Iceman.
Yeah.
So he puts him in a barrel.
Yeah.
And drags it out next to a place called Harry's, which is where he eats breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
And he goes every morning waiting until the buzz at Harry's for breakfast is, oh my God, did you hear what they found in a barrel outside? And he said that he showed up one day, the barrel was gone. He walked into Harry's waiting to hear everybody fucking talk about it. No one said anything.
Nobody ever
no
fucking,
idea what happened no to knows. The barrel.
It just got taken off to the grease place. Like, yeah.
Fuck.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. But yeah, so his methods, and again, this is why he got away with so many deaths.
Did you see the thing about him feeding rats feeding humans, live humans to rats in some fucking cave? Uh-uh. It said at one point he started placing, he said he fed living human beings to giant cave rats in Pennsylvania.
Where they are ROUSs?
Recorded the footage in order to collect torture contracts to prove like, hey, look, I do torture. I was like, is that real? And it says that he tried to show it to DeMeo, and DeMeo could not finish watching the video and told him, you have no soul. I can't watch that. And that's coming from a fucking crime boss.
Like, they had 70. Well, and at the time when DeMeo first met Kuklinski, DeMeo had 70 murders under his belt.
Yeah.
Like that's.
But I don't know what these giant fucking, seriously, Princess Bride.
They're ROUSs,
rats.
Dude.
There's some big ass rats.
Rodents of unusual size.
It says giant cave rats of Pennsylvania.
Did they have laser backpacks on?
There's a lot of Princess Bride stuff going on here. We've got ROUSs. We've got people becoming immune to poison.
Mm-hmm, the hyoscine powder.
There's a lot of Princess Bride stuff going on here. I'm sorry, I just got...
You were saying something when you said but I don't know what your A was because I interrupted you.
He A.
Stop interrupting me and I mean it.
Yeah,
no more. Anybody got a pee? I was going to talk about his method. So this is one of the reasons that he gets away with so much. He shoots people with various guns and various calibers.
He carried two Derringers, one in each pocket.
Son of a bitch, too. The fucking cops, when they find the body of fucking George, whatever the guy's name is, Mescal or whatever, that they labeled him the Iceman after, the fucking cops are over there with bare hands, like opening the fucking plastic to look at the, like, oh, what's in here? A body? Yep. And they have bare hands, no gloves. No CSI unit.
It was a different day.
Yeah.
He killed one person with a bomb on a remote controlled car. He'd used
That's the one.
He used a hand grenade.
Him and Mr. Softy.
Yeah. He used a crossbow. And
the crossbow wasn't even hit. He did that for experiment purposes. Did you see that?
No.
He said he was curious. He liked to do different things and he wanted to try a crossbow, but he wasn't sure if it was going to fucking work and he didn't want to go do a hit and fucking mess up. So he pulled over his car, had it in the fucking passenger seat, asked a stranger for directions. And as the guy leaned down to the window, he shot him in the head and it went halfway into his skull and killed him.
Fuck.
Just for a test. He's like, yeah, it works.
Huh.
Yeah, so they said, did it work?
Get out of my car.
Yeah, and the guy's like, yeah, actually, it did. It worked. Yeah. In the interview, I was like, oh, this guy's so cold. He just doesn't give a fuck.
And there's a lot of the articles that I read said that he killed someone with chainsaws. And even with an interview, they were like, so did you kill anybody? Did you use chainsaws? And he was like, yeah, I used chainsaws. And he was talking about it. And he was like, so you killed people with chainsaws? And he was like, no, you wouldn't kill somebody with a chainsaw. You would use it to take them apart.
Right.
And he was just so matter of fact about it. Like, what kind of a dumbass tries to kill a person with a chain? Like, he was
Who
so,
am I, the fucking he was, Texas Chainsaw he Massacre?
Was
so
like, matter of fact. Face? And the guy was like, did it disturb you while you were doing it? And he was like, no. And he, you know, and he said, did it make a mess? And he was like, oh yeah, it's messy. He was like, and it didn't make you sick or anything? No.
Yeah, he's very...
He's just like, no.
But, I mean, look at a doctor that can cut somebody open and fucking pull their insides out and do all the stuff and put them back together. Like, that's the same shit, you know?
Yeah, he was just... They asked him how he felt about one of the murders. Like, how did that make you feel? He's like, I was real torn up about it. I got a bridge you can buy, too, if you're interested. And I was like...
Like what bridge? Like what? Is that like a mob joke or something?
Yeah, just like talking like oceanfront property in Arizona.
Yeah.
Like it's just a fucking joke. Like I'll sell you a bridge. Here's the deed. Like it's just... He's not torn up about it.
Yeah. So his favorite apparently becomes a nasal spray bottle filled with cyanide.
Yeah.
I'm better with that because pouring it out of a glass could get on your own fucking hand. Yeah,
that's the whole... Even that with the nasal spray. I mean, you're sticking somebody else's...
Did you see his first experiment with the cyanide in water? So him and Mr. Softy got together and they, he was like, yeah, you just take the cyanide, you mix it with water.
And Mr. Softy's real name was Robert Prong.
Yeah, Prong. There you go. I couldn't think
of it. He was an ex-military demolition expert.
Yeah. So he knew bombs inside and out, which is where they got the remote control car from.
Right.
They had a hard time getting a hit on this guy. So they put the fucking bomb in a remote control car and drove it under that fool's limo when he's about to take off. They're like, done. They're like, oh, that was easy. Walk off from the park. Like,
Jesus Christ.
So his first time using the cyanide mixed with water, he put it in a spray bottle and he was walking down the street and he pulled out a rag and the spray bottle with the nozzle pointing to the side. And so he walked by this guy who looked about 50 something, overweight, looked like he could have a heart attack. And he fucking pretends to sneeze into the rag and shoots out the cyanide in the guy's face. It's like he sneezed on the guy.
Right.
Guy takes four steps and fucking has a heart attack right there on the sidewalk. Nobody thinks anything of it. That guy dies.
Just for test?
Yeah, Jesus just a test.
Christ.
And I'm like, that's fucking super dangerous. Like, what if the wind blew the other way, you know?
And he would put cyanide in food. Like, there was one account that he gave if he put cyanide in a guy's burger.
Well, that's how he killed. So he had two partners when he was doing the car theft. One of them got busted. And so immediately he was like, I have to take out these other guys. And one of them was Daniel Deppner. And the other one was Gary Smith, I believe. No, that was the other one. Louis Musgay. So Deppner, he had Musgay and Deppner stay in a hotel room the whole day. He told them stay there, lay low, and then they didn't eat anything all day. So at the end of the day, he comes with burgers. So the burgers, the ones with pickles, have cyanide. The ones without pickles don't.
Damn it. I would have eaten.
He gives these guys burgers. The guy, one of them, Deppner dies. So, he eats the burger, immediately starts choking. He has the other guy fucking strangle him to finish him off.
Because he didn't die. He got impatient. And the coroner said, had he just let him die of cyanide, they wouldn't have even looked. That was his first fuck up, guy, because he strangled him. Then they like, oh, it's a murder. Oh, hey, there's cyanide.
Yeah.
But the worst part about that one is someone was supposed to come pick them up at the car and help him take the body away.
Yeah.
And he just shoved it between the box screens and the mattress and left his body there with it strangled with the cyanide poisoning. And then the room got rented out for 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people slept on the fucking mattress with the dude.
I just don't understand. And I saw the same interview with the medical examiner. I'm like,
how do you not notice this is a really uncomfortable bed.
Like, maybe it was really comfortable. Maybe it was like, oh, it's got extra stiffness.
Yeah. Maybe he fucked with the box springs a little
bit.
That's
what I looked like. Maybe he cut part of the box springs out.
If you saw, you guys didn't see the images of it?
No.
It was like a weird... There was a space under the mattress. Like it was really weird. So I don't know.
Oh, maybe it was like how there's two box springs for like a king bed and there's that weird gap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you have a mattress over two sets of box springs and there's a bit of a gap in the middle.
I don't know, but it was weird when they lift up the bed. It was like inside, there was like the box spring set on top of another box. Thing's
like, why don't you just bury everyone? He would wrap up their parts inside of plastic and duct tape them and shit and then put them out there.
It was all different.
Yeah.
That was even what he said. It's like, sometimes he would wrap them in plastic. Sometimes he would put them in a barrel. Sometimes he would cut all their fingers off and get rid of their teeth. He would drop them in a mine shaft.
Yeah.
Like he did.
In his interview, he
crush them in a car. He was like, he didn't, again, it was was one of the reasons no one was onto him forever.
Yeah.
Because there was no pattern. The bodies, it's like, because even if they always, even if he killed him 8 million ways and disposed the body the same way, that would have led to something. But yeah. I mean, there was.
And they said his name had came up in a few other murders over time, but there was nothing really legitimate to link him to the murders.
Once that one happened, because he started to kill his friends.
Yeah.
Once the heat was on, he started to kill all his business associates and his friends. And they were like, didn't you feel bad? Don't you like him? He's like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I, even when I killed a couple of them, I still liked them when I killed them, but I had to kill them.
Yeah.
He's like, he left had to be done.
His thing was he left no loose ends. Right. Like he killed them. So he fed that guy the burger and then he invited the other guy over to his house like a week later or something and made him some beef stew with cyanide. And he died right there. Actually, it wasn't even to his house. It was his girlfriend's boyfriend's house that was gone. He was away on left or something for a couple weeks. So he's in somebody else's house, made that guy some beef stew and fucking killed him.
It's sketchy just handling that shit. Like,
it is.
Yeah.
If it just gets you and you four steps and you fall down.
Yep. Yeah.
Fuck.
And again, we haven't really addressed this, but the reason that his name is the Iceman
was over Mescal, which that's the guy that they found.
All of his victims towards the end, he would freeze them for periods of up to 2 years to try to confuse the date when they would thaw out. It looked like they died 2 days ago.
Right.
Yeah. So then the guy you're talking about, Brad, they found him and there was ice crystals.
Misgave.
Yeah. During the autopsy, they found ice crystals, which is how they found out he was doing that to lots of victims. He would freeze them for fucking 2 years and then toss them back out there and let them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the names wrong. His associates that he killed with cyanide is that Gary Smith was the first one that was under the mattress. Mm-hmm. And then Deppner was the one that he murdered with the stew. And then
that he murdered with the stew.
Yeah,
and fuck then a candlestick.
Yeah,
and then Miss Gay, Louis Miss Gay was he introduced. So what happened with him? He introduced him to Roy to get money from, basically just loan shark type deal. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden that guy wasn't paying up, so Roy called them in for a meeting. And was like, hey, if Lewis doesn't come through on this deal with money, you introduced me to him, you're going to have to pay up. And so they left driving on the way home. He was trying to, Richard was trying to talk to Lewis and say, hey, you need to pay up on this deal, bloody, bloody, blah. And that guy goes, he's like, you know what? You need to stop pushing so hard. He's like, I know where you live. I know where your family's, I had dinner at your house. And so that's when he pulled the gun out of his pocket, shot him 5 times in the stomach right there in his car.
Fuck.
And that's the guy that he wrapped up. He was froze for 2 years. They couldn't find him. So, no. That was a different guy. I'm getting confused with all these motherfuckers. He killed that guy. And then the other guy that they fucking found, that's the guy that he killed for the 100 grand. He told him he was going to meet up with him a bunch of times. And he goes, yeah, we'll meet up. Never met up with him. So like 4 times later, this guy's still trying to meet up with him. He was the owner of a general store and he wanted products. Well, the last time he met up with him, he went missing. They found his car 3 days later. That guy was nowhere to be found. His $100,000 was missing. So they had no reason to believe that anything happened.
Right.
He just
took his $100,000 and peaced out.
Took his 100 grand and left until he was found on the side of the road wrapped in plastic. And his heart was still frozen. And so that's where they were like, he's still dressed in the same clothes that he was when he went missing. He had 2 bullet holes in the back of his head. So the whole nine. So,
so that was his
crazy.
That was his, his Iceman was to, he would freeze and people to fuck with.
And that's dating. That's the one that got him because immediately when they went to the wife, she said, well, he was going to meet with Richard Kuklinski that day. And so immediately they're like, let's go talk to Richard.
Well, he killed the last 5 people he killed were known friends and or business associates. Yep. And the last person to see him living was Richard. Yep. So they were just like, fuck, that's the guy.
Everything's pointing
but
to him.
But he had killed so many people, there was really no one to get him until they finally get dude to start recording one. Tape.
Yeah, Phil Solomini, who was a mafia fence, who knew him for 20 years. Like he knew him enough that he had actually been to the house to have dinner,
right?
Which was rare because he never merged his two worlds.
Yeah,
right.
So he had to have been fairly close to this guy to let him in to have dinner at some point and meet Barbara and the other beaten members of his family. But
they never look you in your eyes. Yeah. They're just like
Phil Solomini ends up working with special agent Dominique Polifrone. I don't know. who specializes in mafia cases, and they work with the New Jersey
State Police undercover.
And the FBI, undercover, and they basically act like they're hiring him to kill somebody, and they get the entire thing wiretapped, so they get him with details of this is how much you're going to have to pay me.
I couldn't tell if the 20-year mob friend was actually involved in catching him, or if it was that guy started working with the other guy just to get close to Richard, I think, and then got that was his foot in the door. I don't know if the other guy actually knew that he was undercover.
I don't think so. Yeah. The Palafrone, though, he went by a mob. I don't even know what name he went by. It was something crazy.
Side note, though, El Yucateco just sent us this thing. Look at that. Right. Conspiracy cruise. Mm. It's sea cruises that are conspiracy themed, and they talk about fucking Monsanto and Bohemian Grove. That's the whole cruise is based off conspiracies, and they sit there and...
I'd want to go on a haunted cruise.
Yeah, they have that. The next one after that's the Walking Dead cruise.
No.
That's, I don't know, the conspiracy cruise I'm down with.
Now, don't get me wrong, I love The Walking Dead, but that cruise is going to be awful.
I'm over The Walking Dead.
I'm not going on a cruise because I can't be on a fucking boat. Fuck that shit. That's just
scary. You don't even know. You won't even feel it.
No, I don't want to be on a boat. My bed better be on the fucking ship deck. I'm not going below, man. I'm not going underwater. That shit scares me.
Oh, stop.
I don't like it.
I just don't want to fucking get stuck on a boat.
Unless they got rare stamps in the engine room. I'm going. I'm there.
Every cruise ship gets hit with like a virulent disease, and everybody gets all fucked up on the ship now.
I'm not going.
That's weird.
So he ends up getting arrested when he's 51 in 1986. In 88, he finally goes through trial. He's convicted of 5 murders. He gets 5 consecutive life sentences. 2003, he pleads guilty to the 1980 killing of Detective Peter Calabro and got 30 more years, which meant he wouldn't have been eligible for parole until he was 140 years old. And this is when he starts doing tons of interviews with psychiatrists and criminologists. He does the HBO stuff and gets somewhat famous because of it. In interviews he gave, he claimed himself that he killed 250 people. And here it is, Pat Kane, who led the investigation that led to Kuklinski's arrest, thinks he killed slightly over 300 men before he was caught.
Yeah. Well, of course he's going to pump the numbers
up. Well, there's bones, crossbow tests, you know, there's the people on the side.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's that dude at a fucking pool hall.
The crazy thing is, like, every time he got cyanide, he went and tested it on somebody.
Right.
It's like every time he got a new batch, he had to go kill some random person.
Or a dog or whatever.
Yeah,
so it's like it doesn't matter how many mob hits he did.
Yeah.
Like, he was just killing motherfuckers for test, or because they pissed him off, or they cut him off in traffic, or he would just.
Well, that's how he knew he was fucked in the end. He tried to buy that cyanide or trade the cyanide for the last hit that was going to be recorded. He got the cyanide from him, tried to feed it to a dog, and the dog didn't die. And he's like, something's fucking up. I'm not doing this job. And he took off to go home. But when he went home, there's a fucking roadblock. And it's like, busted. Yeah. Because that cyanide was fucking fake.
So he ends up like in jail. He ends up rotting away so he's in jail from 1986. And then on March 5th of 2006,
he was 70 years old.
He dies. He was supposed to testify in some other criminal case.
Oh no.
And he told family members that he thought that he had been slowly being poisoned and that they were trying to kill him.
Makes sense.
And his health was failing rapidly. And this is like the final got him, that his wife Barbara pulled because he insisted to the doctors that no matter what happens,
resuscitate
me, keep fighting for me, etc. And then he faded out and was unconscious. And since she was the only living relative, she had power of attorney. Nah. She signed a DNR. He ended up flatlining. They called her and said, he's flatlining. Are you sure we can't rescind the DNR? And she was like, nope.
Nice.
That's weird that she could sign the thing and he can't. Like, did they get divorced? Are they even still married at that time? No,
they're still married.
I don't know. The thing is, though, I had read that they were divorced.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
But it might just be that he was the last family member. It might be that she signed a fucking DNR at that hospital 20 years ago.
No, it said she signed the DNR a week prior or something.
So I don't know. I don't know how that went down because she was divorced and she was with other people and so forth. But she did have some legal authority to sign the DNR against his wishes. And when he was fucking zonked out, she signed the DNR and they did not...
She might have had a power of attorney, though, from maybe a long time ago or something. Maybe.
Yeah, it said she signed it a week ago. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Power of attorney.
I mean, and it's not like they would have necessarily been able to revive him or whatever. But
yeah, they said he had some
that.
Kind of rare, like, blood vessel, inflammation of the blood vessel disease.
So thing. He was being poisoned.
But they said, yeah, foul play was definitely suspect.
Which makes sense if he was going to testify against somebody and then all of a sudden he's being poisoned and dies.
I'm just glad that Barbara got to have the final. Yeah. Got him.
Did you see his one regret that. Kill though?
No.
Like he actually had one that was kind of regretful that he didn't want to talk about, and it was the guy that he let pray.
Oh yeah.
For
that.
30 minutes.
Yeah, the guy
he said, I'll give you
30
minutes, and if your God comes down and strikes me down or takes or you away from this room, you know, then it is what it is. But if 30 minutes is up,
it's a scene from Matrix.
Here,
yeah, I couldn't possibly pull this plug. If Neo's the one, I couldn't possibly do this. And then fucking that Bowser guy, whatever his name is, shoots him. Yeah.
It's
not Bowser.
It's not Bowser.
It's something like that. Dozer.
Dozer, yeah.
Bowser's from Mario.
Yeah. So he sat there with this guy praying and
30 minutes.
For 30 minutes.
And then fucking
hoping that God
30
would come
minutes,
out
fucking the timer goes off. Beep, 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 beep.
Well, that guy's whole kill was fucked up because he showed up to collect money and the guy's like, no, don't kill me, don't kill me. He puts him on the phone with like the mayor or whoever it is and he talks to him. He's like, okay, it's cool. You get the money next week. Get the money. He's like, see, I told you everything's fucking cool. Here, he wants to talk to you. Gives him the phone. He's like, kill him. And so he's like, no. He's like, he changed his mind. I don't know what to tell you. And he's like, and he starts praying. No. And then he lets him fucking pray for 30 minutes. Yeah.
It's like the mob guys. Are
in the
like
movie,
the most,
that's it's James Franco that happens
in the mob guys are so fucking sarcastic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's like the most sarcastic motherfuckers.
It made me want to watch Sopranos all over.
Is that movie good?
That movie's really good, actually.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Because the main guy, Shannon, his last name is Shannon. I forget his first name.
I couldn't think what else he was in.
He's a great.
He does a good job.
He's in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
He's a dope actor.
If I saw him in real life, I'd be fucking scared of the dude.
He's a fucking great actor. But like fucking him, Winona Ryder, fucking James.
She does a good job.
I hate Winona Ryder.
What's his name from fucking Goodfellas is in there. I can't think of his name.
Michael Shannon.
The main guy that the helicopters come and Goodfellas and shit. And, in the end, he flushes all the coke.
Chris Evans is Mr. Freezy. Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. That's the guy. Yeah.
David Schwimmer.
Yeah, from Friends. He has a fucking ponytail and a goofy mustache.
No, I was reading the cast. I was like, fuck, I need to watch this.
Oh, you know, what's his name from Goonies, too? The fucking one of the Fratelli brothers. The older one. Not the guy from Matrix. The other Goonies Fratelli.
I didn't know there was Fratelli in the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't realize that? Fuck yeah.
I've seen Goonies once. I don't even know who
James Franco.
I wouldn't realize that.
Ryan O'Nan, whoever the fuck that is. I don't know.
There's a lot of big names. It's a good movie, though.
Yeah,
I'll check it out. So I don't know. At the end of the day, I think a lot of this stuff, see, it's one of two things. When he's sitting there, because when I saw that a long ass time ago, he was just so fucking blasé about it. No, I killed this guy. Yeah, I killed that guy. Yeah, I killed this guy. It's like, this guy's just a fucking glory hog. Like, he didn't do any of this fucking shit. He's just trying to fucking floss and make his prison reputation get bigger. And having done the research and seeing like the fucking people investigating the cases are like, we think he killed 200 people.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn. And like now I'm watching the videos and I'm seeing it in a completely different vein. I'm looking at a fucking psychopathic fucking murderer.
I don't think he was psychopathic.
No, you're right. But there was something like
he had a disconnection with people.
Well, with
like
guilt.
He just didn't care.
Fuck, right. Yeah.
He just didn't care about you. But I think even that though, I think he did care because he would go home when he was Mean Richard, he took his work home with him. Like he probably just killed somebody and he felt bad about it and fucking
it off. You gotta have a sandwich or something. Yeah, you can't just go home.
Well, that's what happened. His wife didn't have dinner ready. She didn't have the sandwich ready.
I also wonder if it's the opposite. I wonder if it was like a serial killer scenario and if he was feeling that compulsion to kill and he didn't have a fucking hit assigned to him and that was when he would try to smother his fucking wife because he needs to get it out of his system.
Right.
So then he ends up going and killing a guy at a fucking pool hall or taking a new job and icing somebody. Like,
I mean, what makes
a build up that
what makes people a bully though? You know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily make them. I don't know. Like, I just think he just had issues. Like, it wasn't necessarily that he had the itch to kill. I think he killed because he made money doing it. Because he didn't give a fuck. Like, he's like, oh, I can.
Well, there was obviously something. There was something deeper than just being completely impassive, because otherwise he
wouldn't have
kept trying to fucking do that shit to his wife.
Well, it was power. He
and a lot of it was rage induced. Kept
power. Yeah. Yeah. It was rage induced. He had a fucking anger management issue. And he liked the power.
Right.
You know what I mean? To have the power over somebody, to probably have somebody on their knees begging you for their life.
Right.
You know, it wasn't necessarily the shooting them part that fed him. It was just that power over them that and they would
talked,
do whatever.
He talked a
whatever.
Lot about that. I think he really savored the hunt. He savored figuring out how he was going to kill this one and how he was going to dispose of the body.
Yeah.
And it was always different. You
yeah,
know,
make so. It interesting. Yeah, pretty.
Very
this guy is definitely different than any other like killer that we've talked about. I'm sure there's other guys like him. You know, I'm sure Roy DeMeo would probably be an interesting character to get into. Also, he was a huge mobster.
Yeah. And there is a website that I saw, and I started to go into it a little bit. It's an article called The Iceman Lieth. And I'll post a link in the show description, because he talks about some of the specific murders that people attribute the Iceman to. Mm-hmm. And he does this really fucking in-depth thing. And he was like, he was actually in this city killing this guy at this time. He couldn't have been over here where this thing happened. He was actually, you know, flight record. Like, he really breaks down a lot of the stuff that he claims.
Well, even DeMeo's death was all the evidence shows it's like three other guys were involved, not him. Yeah.
So I'll
He didn't kill DeMeo.
He claims it though.
Yeah. He didn't though. Yeah. DeMeo was found in the trunk of his car, fucking gangland style murder. Like, right. So
I'll put that link in, because it does go into a lot of the this guy's full of shit angle. And,
yeah.
But I mean, even if he's full of shit on half of what he's saying on those HBO shows, he killed a lot of motherfuckers.
Oh,
he wasn't.
Sure.
He was a button man.
I mean, fuck, if he killed 50 people, like that's 50 fucking people. Like that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that DeMeo was fucking crazy too. Like, I guess they were all eating dinner at the spot that they chill at, and they're laughing around the table. Everybody's having a good time, and DeMeo pulls out an Uzi on Richard and points it at him, and everybody stops laughing. And he just sits there, and he's like, "What are you laughing at, Polak? What's so funny? So,
am I funny? Am I clown? I'm here to use you. I'm a fucking clown.
Yeah, because he was. Yeah, Roy. That's in the movie, but
yes,
that's Roy was getting paranoid about Richard, because Richard was gaining this power.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was just a fucking madman. You know. So yeah, it's interesting. Definitely,
it's an interesting case. So do you want to do sponsors, and then we'll talk to you a little bit about
first.
So we do have one thing that we're going to do after sponsors. We want to thank our newest Patreons who joined up since last time, and we want to thank them by telling them all a secret.
Yeah.
After the sponsors.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Zach Kirby, once again, congratulations for your sexual healing.
You notice his eyes are really close together too.
I can't tell you, the glasses on. I don't know. If he's my cousin, I'd fucking kiss him. He's sexy as fuck.
They're really close.
Yeah, I'd do it.
I'm talking about they're just like
You think he's Canadian?
I think could he's
good.
Be.
He's good looking. He's my could type, be. Man. I go for it. Two Zachs at the same time, man. I'd do it. But congrats to Zach. We need to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can get it on their website. Check out their gear store. Save some money. Use code SOFAKING. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. Same thing, PrintDirtCheap.com. You can use code SOFAKING to order items there. Sticky things, printed things, tattoos, banners, all kinds of stuff. Thank you to De Leon Graphics for our t-shirts and koozies. We got some new stuff coming out. He's working on new screens right now. We already ordered the shirts. And thank you to Digital Creations. You can contact them at digital.creations on Facebook. I think digital.creations Bakersfield. Fuck, I don't know. Now I messed it up. I've only said that 1,000 times. I can't remember. If you look at that shit on Facebook, you'll find it. But thank you for our mugs. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com for instructional DVDs and gear and apparel. Hussan. Here's this message.
Before the secrets, I do want to give one more thank.
I thought Hassan was mine.
Right here, dog.
I have it circled. You're right.
Carrie and Marley, I just want to thank you for the Blanton's whiskey.
Yeah, that
John
is
Wick deliciousness. And
like, I don't know how expensive that is, but
that is going to be some shit.
I would like to have some on my shelf.
That's some shit I'm going to be putting at the home.
Yeah, you guys better put IP camera down here. I might be sipping that, man. Well, dang, gotta wait for Sunday.
So we want to share. So the rest of you, okay, here's the deal. We're sharing secrets just with these patrons.
Yeah.
We're trusting. This is on the the honor system.
This is on the honor system. So the rest of you, you can
turn off the show.
Turn off the show. It's done. We're going to unveil secret things about ourselves, and we just want to do it for three very special people. So thanks for listening. Goodbye. Blah, blah, blah. And now we can tell our secrets.
Don't be retarded. Okay.
So
music.
So this is something I've never told anyone too. So, and I'm butchering your name. It's Hsan. I'm saying Hassan. Hsan. It's Hassan. I'm almost there. There's no back. Yeah, it might be a fake account. Fake account giving us money though. Thank you, sir. And I'm going to reveal something deep and dark from my childhood. When I was in the third grade, one day after school, I was kind of a latchkey kid. My mom gave me a key and I just go home, lock up, do my homework, make a sandwich. One time I got this tingling all over my entire body. Okay. I've never told anyone this. And
were you near the whacking shed?
I was not near the whacking shed.
So it was a different tingle.
That tingling didn't happen until the seventh grade. Yeah, okay, I'll tell that story one time. It involved some red PE shorts and a mess that was unexpected.
Okay.
Yeah. I was not prepared for that. It happened in the front room. Okay. That's a real story. I will tell that. I don't care. This one though, a tingling came over my entire body and I noticed a slight glow, if you will, a yellowish glow. Mm-hmm. And that's the day, Hsan, that I realized that I'm invisible when no one's looking. Mm-hmm. And you ask, how do I know that? It's because I get that glow and that tingle. You know, it's hard to verify. I can't look in the mirror because someone's looking. But I know that when I get the tingle and the hue, if you will, that no one can see me. It's kind of it's a half-assed power because
it's pretty weak.
I'm only invisible when no one's looking, but I've got it. I mean, most people don't have any power.
The red PE shorts story would have been better, I think.
Well, that's next week. Tune in on Friday's episode for the red PE shorts.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I personally...
Well, there's only three people going to be tuning in now. Everybody else doesn't even know.
I just want to thank you for sharing because that's private and intimate.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you.
Yeah, it shows how crazy you really are.
So, my secret, I want to thank our patron, Jennifer Simon, and I'm going to tell a secret. And I'm safe saying this because it's only the three of us and her are the only ones listening right now.
Yeah, Hsan, turn off the show.
Thanks for listening, Hsan. Yeah. Turn off the show.
Don't be a retard. Now. You sound like an Asian. Stay out of a tree.
So
don't snipe people.
When I was young, I was a bedwetter. Like I wet the bed.
You still are, but when you were young, you were too.
Well, no, I wet the bed until I was 13. And I think it was a psychological, like, oh, I'm a teenager now. Like I'm an adult. Cause I just like abruptly stopped when I became 13 years old. I quit being a bedwetter. And I felt really good about it. And then when I was 31, I started wetting the bed again. And it wasn't like, cause I couldn't control myself. It just kind of feels
comforting.
Yeah.
It's just warm and comforting.
That's true.
I just really like
it. Have you ever had one of them, like where you're like half dreaming, half, you got to pee so bad and it feels like you released, but you didn't pee the bed.
Right.
Like, you know, it feels like you like peed.
And that's how it started for me. I had one of those dreams.
That sounds like a red short story, man.
I had one of those dreams and I woke up and I was like, oh, that felt so good. I peed the bed. And then I hadn't and I was disappointed. So then I did.
Yeah.
And it felt fantastic.
Yeah, you have to after that.
So, but I'm not embarrassed by it because this is a sharing space. Hey, and there's only a couple of us who heard.
We're in a safe space. We're not
judging.
We'll call it the nest. Yeah. We call it the nest.
That's my secret.
That was to Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay, Jennifer, turn off your...
Thank you for listening.
Turn off your iPod, stereo, whatever you have. Mm-hmm. Turn it off now. Thanks. Don't be a retard.
You're still listening. You're not supposed to. How dare you?
How dare you?
Yeah.
We gave you clear instructions. These are secrets.
Yeah, and you're a piece of shit. Okay. So the last person is Spencer Barrett. This is my secret. So true story. So I was in seventh grade and I was walking down the hall and back then I wore baggy shorts, you know, whatnot. I wore boxers, you know.
You're in school?
Yeah. I was at school. Mm-hmm. I was walking and it was like kind of a side lane. Like nobody was over there. Like there were some basketball courts into the core area of the school and I had to shit like real bad. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Well, I didn't make it to the bathroom. I shit my pants. And it literally just fell out of my shorts onto the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hanky?
It was a lot. It was a lot. And I've never told anybody this. But it was a lot. And
It was logs though. It wasn't like
logs.
That,
yeah. It just looked like a dog, like a big, like a mastiff or something shit on the sidewalk. And I just fucking walked off. My ass was clean. You know how you take them clean shit
out your leg? Yeah.
It just fell out the leg just of the pants. Up,
no underwear? Up. What was going on?
No, I had boxers. Yeah. Oh, and it just fucking, and I went to the bathroom. I checked everything. It was good.
So you just Lincoln logged.
And I fucking Lincoln logged the sidewalk and I walked the fuck on. Like, and that's a true story.
Yeah. Shitty balls for sure.
No, I didn't, dude. It was fucking, it was a clean shit. Like it was clean.
High fiber back then. Huh?
Yeah,
I would have thought you're on Mountain Dew and Chocodiles. That's a recipe for fucking diarrhea. Cha cha.
No, that'll give you. That's solids right there.
And who was that secret to?
That was to Jennifer Barrett. So that was it. So there you go. You're done.
And again, this is a safe space.
Oh, Spencer.
No one else.
Sorry, Spencer. Jennifer. Spencer.
Spencer Barrett.
Yeah.
Spencer so Barrett. It was a safe space, Spencer. So I'm glad. I hope you liked it. I know no one else is listening anymore. Yep. So I feel good about it.
If you're out there, just you know, if the three of you guys. Well, I guess it's too late now. I can't talk to them. Never mind.
No. So.
All right, well, that's it.
All right. So,
are we done?
Spencer, don't be, tell Spencer.
He's the only one listening still, so.
All right, Spencer, don't be a retard.
Scar. Being red, that shit from that south side, that town. We've got 2-8 block, don't ask me, we done. My people hungry, I'm finna feed these miles. Ain't nobody else finna do it, keep it moving, boy, where's my crown? Being red, that shit from that south side, that town. 6 got 2-8 block, don't ask me, we done. My people hungry, I'm finna feed these miles. Ain't nobody else finna do it, keep it moving, boy, where's my crime? People are just so opinionated. I can't tell some of my peers my information, cause then they would get intimidated. Any sucker shit in my head eliminated. Like being worried about a sentence, facing 25 years like I'm not in the Matrix. And Keanu Reeves while I whip that pastry. Keep it moving, I don't have a safety. This is not the nigga you wanna fuck with. Take a few steps back before you talk that tough shit. There's a reason why I keep 30 in the clip of my little pistol that just sits on my hip. My own two hands don't need defense from a click. Am I your bully just because you're a sensitive bitch? Respect, man, that shit go a long way. Check yourself or you check the God. All I'm saying is being red, that shit from that south side, that town. We've got 2-8 block, don't ask me, we down. My people hungry, I'm finna feed these miles. Ain't nobody else finna do it, keep it moving, boy, where's my crown? Being red, that shit from that south side, that town. 6 got 2-8 block, don't ask me, we down. My people hungry, I'm finna feed these miles. Ain't nobody else finna do it, keep it moving, boy, where's my crime? No complaints about a glass ceiling, yeah. Cause we ain't even entered into the building yet. Perception is a reflection of whatever else it is in someone else's mind. So since I'm a rapper, they think that I'm torn every time I hop on a plane and I fly. You see me autopilot in my Tesla while I'm riding on I-10 or I-5. Ain't shit to it, nigga, but to do it and to keep it moving while you sauce and juicing. I don't keep that many new friends around me and the old ones can't get cut if they are not the truest. All these bitches choosing cause my style's improving. Never drop the unit, only constant movement. I just use the force, I don't pop it to him. On a Saturday night, I'm live, sock it to him. I am living color, you can't knock the movement. This is black umbrella, or you talking stupid. I am confrontation, I am not elusive. I am really sexy, these are not illusions. I am Disney's Robin Hood, I am not a human. I get back to the hood off of prostitution and then feed the kids off of a lot of stupid. Traffic, you are not commuted. I don't get these haters, you can die from it. I have never pushed a single dislike button. And for the record, you are playing checkers. This is Russian roulette, you are Black and Decker. I will call you a tool, but that's in the field. You're a house appliance, you would make a meal. In a jail cell and they will break you steel. I am God, don't shake my hand, take a kneel. You're not Marshall Mathers, I'm not Benzino. I beat the bullies all my life, I defend people. So that anti-bully campaign trying to put on my name, reaching really low, really fucking lame. Calling me a bigot, you're a fucking shame. If I rose my voice, you probably tuck a chain. That is not my problem, I will not go change the way that I'm talking to make you feel less threatened. You don't have to agree, but you have to respect it. Unless you're a bigot, and then that is because you're making statements without asking questions. Can they speak for themselves? Do you have to step in? Or are you jealous because I didn't mention you? And cause my lines are figurative and illiterate. Y'all remind me of a lunchroom in a middle school. That's real clickbait, man. Y'all are pitiful. If I said it, boy, then I meant it. It's real life to me. I don't see a difference.
only thing is that I'm speaking with the rhythm. Have to tell my goons chill, they say we can get them. We don't talk to pastors cause we think it's snitching. No confessions to priests, he say he a witness. No Hail Marys, we got another week of sinning. Bullies only pray upon the weakest bitches. But I don't even pray at all, I ain't even Christian. And stupid bitches can't even speak a sentence. Just because you're a hoe and you see my pimping, that don't mean you can sign up. I keep attendance and I play some chess, but I don't frequent tennis. So don't send me one more fucking tweet or mention or an email thread with your sweet intentions. Looking at your 2D screens, dreams and visions. I built whole blocks on my hands, this is three dimension. So you saying you don't respect could make me defensive. So me saying I got bars for you could mean a prison. Tourette's and I don't talk without thinking, nigga. I wish your dad was here so he could hit you. When you turn 16 instead of tweaking, sitting, you should learn some manners, you should reconsider. I'm a spotter, I catch bodies, I don't need a hitter. Corny chickens beefing, man, we think it's dinner. I don't shave my mane, you can see my whiskers. Y'all is older than me, but y'all think like infants. I'm young, but my soul might need some dentures, man. Being rev that shit from that south side that time. Sis got 28 block, don't ask me, we done. My people hungry, I'm finna feed these minds. Ain't nobody else finna do it, keep it moving, boy, where's my crime? Being rep that shit from that south side that time. Sis got 28 block, don't ask me, we done. My people hungry, I'm finna feed these minds. Ain't nobody else finna do it, keep it moving, boy, where's my crime?
Can't come, ain't got nothing on me. Ah!